I guess if I have to give one piece of advice, it's going to be stop, meet yourself where you are, and then start making your plan forward and let your journey unravel as it's going to, and allow those opportunities where you can say yes. Say those three letters, say yes, and go for it.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by the Travel Gear and Adventure Show, where I will be speaking this June 2026 in Salt Lake City, Utah, and by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015. So stay tuned for more from them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. Hey, thanks for joining us today, wherever you are tuning in from. We have a new guest today and a new topic that, while all of us talk about it every single day, we've never talked about this topic on the show, at least not directly and intentionally, which is why I can't wait to see how this conversation goes, because our topic for the day is the weather. Among many other things, because our guest today is Jennifer Broom, whose journey has taken her from chief meteorologist at a local station to reporting from all over the world, which has turned her into not just a weather expert, but a travel expert and journalist as well. So, Jen, let's do this. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you're here.
Oh, it's so much fun to talk to you. I always love seeing you. You know that.
Yeah, I actually would love to share the story about how we met, because I feel like my show is kind of an evolving story of just the people that I meet in my life, because we get to meet so many cool people in the industry that we're in travel and all that. And so you and I met in Quebec the first time. We've seen each other multiple times since, but that was just a couple years ago on that winter trip in Quebec.
Oh, yes. I mean, there we were in the cold, in the snow, and going all over Quebec province, doing crazy things like dog sledding, mm-hmm. Going out on the fjord, going, snowshoeing and skiing out on the fjord, which was an amazing experience. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe that was a couple of years ago.
I think it's so neat, though, because I mean, that was the first time I met you. And I remember, like, I have a specific kind of image of you on that trip, because were with your phone. But you were with your phone, like, recording yourself. I mean, so this is like a media/buyer trip for you guys listening. So that it was like an industry trip. So we were essentially on, it was like a fam trip or whatever they called it. Adventure Week with the ATTA. But yeah. But you had your phone with you and you were doing your reporting thing, essentially. And I just remember thinking, like, she's so pro. Like, you have no shame. Like, you're just like telling the story. And you have also, I'm very visual. I'm a very visual person. And so when I think about people that I've met that I know, they have an image, like an image comes to my mind, right? And yours is always smiling, like the biggest smile. And so I just have this like bright Jen image in my head of like being in the snow and you just being so excited to talk about whatever we were doing in the cold. Like, I don't know. It was a neat experience.
I love that I bring you joy. I mean, there are a lot of things that we could bring people that could be a lot worse than that.
Yeah.
But I guess I kind of look at every day as a new adventure. And, I've had a lot of things happen in my life to get to this point. But I'm just grateful. I'm grateful, as you are, for these experiences that we're able to go and do. Mm-hmm. And in the particular, that trip that you were talking about, it was a little unique in the fact of that we were also with, well, as you do with part of your professional life, taking tour groups and taking people to go have big adventures all around the world. And then straight up media folks like me. So it was fun for me as a media person to kind of see that tour operator aspect of it, of what really goes into each tour operator going through and deciding, yes, I want to include this in a group trip that I'm taking, or I don't want to do this, or how about, you know, it was fascinating to me to witness that side of it, in addition to experiencing all of the media aspect of it. And then, of course, being able to share that, you know, whether that be on a television segment or in an article, or even just on my own website, too. But yeah, that was a fun trip. We had a lot of fun.
Yes, we did. And I love Quebec so much. That place has holds a very special corner of my heart. Yeah, so that was where we met. And then I've since seen you at the TGA conference, which has been in Vegas the last couple of years. And this is fun today, because at those last two conferences, we have been on stage together and you've been the one doing the interviewing. And I have to just say, you're so good at that. You are such a pro. Like, really, I'm impressed. I was super impressed with the amount of people that you had to deal with at once, because it was always a panel. And here you are, like, I can tell you've done your homework, you've done your research, you know what you're doing. It was very well done. You made all of us look really good. And so I hope I can do the same for you today.
Well, it's so funny you're talking about Travel Goods Association. And it is fun for me. And, you know, I'm just a curious person, you know, whether it's on a stage or you're, you know, the barista in the coffee shop in Queenstown, New Zealand, or in, you know, Hobart, Tasmania, or in Ljubljana, Slovenia. You know, I'm so curious. I love learning about people. I guess that's probably why I went into journalism in the first place, because I love to learn. And, you know, and I also love to share what I learned too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that part's obvious, but it works well together and you do a really great job. So, So let's start with your story, actually. I mean, I gave you a little bit of an intro, but why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Let us know who you think you are.
Oh, gosh. You know, this is so funny, because, you know, talking about myself is my least favorite topic on the planet, because I feel like everybody else has so much more of an interesting story than myself. But to kind of
stories we tell ourselves, right? I mean,
I know.
No way.
I mean, you know, I know people look at me and they're like, hello, you've been 63 countries, you've been to all 50 states, you're on this crazy quest to go visit all 433 of the National Park Service sites. You know, including the 63 national parks. And, you know, I mean, I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, you know, and I had a dream. And that dream was that I wanted to be on television. And when I was growing up, the people that were on television that I looked up to were people like Jane Pauley, Connie Chung, and then a little bit down the road, Katie Couric. And, you know, I wanted to go be the host of the Today Show. Years later, my parents would get the opportunity to thank Jane Pauley in person after she wrote a book and was going on a book tour across the country. And they, you know, they were just so grateful to have that opportunity to tell someone. I will tell you, when I was young, I actually wrote letters to Jane Pauley and Connie Chung. And both of them wrote me back. Keep in mind, you know, I'm in that age of about 8, 9 years old, asking for advice of like, what, you know, I want to go and do what you're doing. What's the advice you would give? Well, then I wrote both of them again when I was in high school, and they both wrote me back again. And immediately that instilled with me, when you were in a role in a professional, whatever professional career you choose, how important it is when someone who wants to do what you are doing, how important it is, A, to respond, and B, share a couple of pieces of advice. I'll never forget Jane Pauley's advice to me was, read as much as you can. Learn as much about the world as you possibly can. And so then that ends up, for me, transitioning that I graduated from the University of South Carolina, the Honors College there, with a degree in journalism. 3 days out of school, I had a job working part-time at the TV station in Columbia, South Carolina. 3 months down the road, I was like, if you're not hiring me full-time, I'm looking for a job. I quickly had a job in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, doing weather. One of the things and advice my dad gave me was, because, look, the reality is this was 1994 and I was making a salary of $19,000. which in now in these days, it's like, how on earth did I ever survive? But I did. but my dad said, ask them to send you back to school to learn meteorology. Learn the science behind what you're doing. And my dad also knew I was curious. I'm always curious about cultures and history and astronomy and the weather and the earth and just all of it. I'm just a curious person by nature. And so I asked, I said, hey, can you send me back to school? Well, they did. So I went and did a 3-year program in 2.5 years, getting my certification for broadcast meteorology. I went on to get the full second degree. So I have a BA in journalism and a BS in geoscience with emphasis in meteorology from that one from Mississippi State. And so I went on and went from Myrtle Beach, went to Knoxville, Tennessee, went to San Antonio, Texas. And it was in San Antonio that I was hired to do mornings there and then was fairly quickly moved up to the night shift and became one of the first female chief meteorologists in the country. And, you know, it was such for me a tremendous honor to be able to bust through a little bit of a glass ceiling at that time. You know, that's the early 2000s, which to me now sounds incredible. Like, oh my gosh, you know, that it took that long for females to start getting into that chief meteorologist position or being that person that's in charge of the weather department for a local affiliate. But it also, for me, now that I see so many females, A, doing weather on television and so inspired about STEM and being so proactive and encouraging younger generations, especially the females, to go after those science careers, those math careers, combine them, whatever it may be, especially in this world that we live in that is changing at such an accelerated rate these days. You know, it's been a joy. And then, you know, kind of fast forward to 2017, in 2016, had accepted a job to go host a television show in Houston, Texas. My brother, my only sibling, had passed away right before that. And I made a promise to my brother right after he passed, that I would not stay in a relationship or a job if I was not 100% happy. Mm-hmm. And the reality is you can't be 100% happy all the time, but you kind of understand, I'm like, you should be overall 100% happy in that choice. And I think a lot of it was I didn't necessarily give myself the grace and the time to grieve that passing of my only sibling. I took a job, but yet at the same time, I had also launched my website, my travel sphere, because I realized when I was in San Antonio, then I went on to Colorado and I launched a series called Explore Colorado. Then I went to Houston. And in all this, I'm realizing I'm working to travel. And so I had launched my website and was doing different things. And also, by the way, at this point, while I'm living in Houston, trying to also make sure my mom is okay. My dad passed in 2000. So I'd lost my dad. I'd lost my brother. I still had my mom, and trying to juggle launching a brand new television show, doing my website, trying to fly every couple of weeks, at least every 3 weeks. I'm flying to South Carolina to make sure that my mom's okay. It just became overwhelmingly too much. And I, in 2017, had to make the personal decision of I have to step away. I have to go find my own. At the time, I called it Journey to Joy. I didn't know what that was going to be, but I knew that I had to do something. And if I didn't, I was quickly spiraling and getting to a point of I was going to crash and burn, and it was going to be bad. Mm-hmm. And so I took off in September 2017 on a solo road trip. My mecca, for whatever reason, was Glacier National Park.
Ooh,
good pick, right? Really good pick. And so I took off on this journey, and it was really in a matter of a couple of days that I realized how badly I needed to do that trip and how badly I needed to turn off the radio and just listen to the silence. And you know, I do go around the country and around the world speaking on solo travel, adventure travel, national parks. But one of those key things that I learned in that first big kind of road trip on this freelance career of whatever the heck I was going to do next on this path that was completely unwritten was to savor the silence. And I think it's something that all of us so much crave now. I mean, we are inundated with so much technology. With you look at like the trends, the travel trends for 2026, and with that, some of that coming, the digital detox or the hush. Instead of hospitality, it's hushpitality.
Oh gosh.
Of seeking, I know, all sorts of buzzwords and things that we're searching for. But even going into, you know, the astrotourism or the nocturism, the night sky, that is such a big thing that folks are craving. And I think it's because we are really innately in craving silence and in craving moments that we connect with other people or reconnect with ourselves or reconnect with this incredible world around us. And that spans landscapes that we have here on Earth to the incredible millions and millions of stars and planets and everything in the heavens above us. And you look at those events when we had the Northern Lights, when we had last year, the Northern Lights coming all the way down. You know, I mean, I happen to be home in Denver, Colorado, and I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that I would witness Northern Lights from my balcony with city lights present, in Denver, Colorado. We get them sometimes in Colorado, but it was just, but then to also see, you know, friends in South Carolina and Texas and, all of the Southern tier states that were also experiencing it. And I love those moments. I love the moments when we have, the total solar eclipses and those weather things and, space things or, like the Olympics, things that we can all join together and get excited about and getting those positive moments. And so kind of think like that's what happened for me. I had to go and find that positive moment. And so honestly, like a 3-week trip turned into 3 months, turned into, me going to Europe on, part solo, part with friends. Then it just kept going and kept snowballing. And now I have this crazy life where I am gone more than I'm home. It's funny when you get excited to be home for 5 days, but, yeah. But those days are, I've gone, reality is I'm on the road 80 to 85% of the time. I love it. I love going, experiencing the world, and I love sharing it too.
Mm-hmm. We'll come right back to that, but first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Adventure doesn't start when the plane takes off or even when you hit the trailhead. It starts at the TGA show. The 2026 Travel, Gear, and Adventure Show in Salt Lake City, Utah is a true community gathering where anyone passionate about travel can feel inspired, connected, and empowered. The TGA show brings together travelers, adventurers, creators, brands, tourism boards, gear companies, and storytellers for exclusive access to new travel gear and innovations, masterclasses with world-class experts, destination and tourism board experiences, and hands-on workshops designed for both travel content creators and everyday adventurers. Not to mention the networking opportunities with filmmakers, podcasters, writers, and travel entrepreneurs, including myself. I will be speaking at this year's TGA show in Salt Lake City, Utah, and you can join me. Mark your calendar for June 23rd to 25th, 2026, and check out travelgoods.org to learn more and register. I'll see you there. My favorite travel pack from Osprey just got some major updates, and so did the rest of its family. I'm talking about Osprey's Farpoint and Fairview packs, the ones I've been traveling the world with for a decade now. I know that names of packs and the sheer number of options can get confusing, so I'll make this easy for you. First, Farpoint and Fairview are similarly built packs just made for different body types, as are most of Osprey's packs, so you can find the one that fits your body the best. If you're looking for a new travel pack, head straight to the Farpoint and Fairview family within Osprey's vast collection of products. There are 3 styles of the Farpoint and Fairview. 1, the original Farpoint and Fairview, which are geared towards travelers moving fast through cities, airports, buses, hostels, etc. 2, my go-to trail pack, the Farpoint and Fairview Trek, geared towards adventure travelers who need a versatile travel pack built for time on the trail. And 3, the Farpoint and Fairview Wheeled, which offers you the choice between wheels or lightweight stowaway suspension. I mentioned major updates, And these include more durable fabric, easy slide zippers, improved organization, extended fit sizing, and of course, new colors. Plus, all of these are 100% Blue Sign approved products because Osprey cares about the environment, your health, and production safety and transparency. You can find the new Farpoint and Fairview packs and more at osprey.com. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
Oh my goodness, that was such a good story right there. And honestly, I'm like, uh-oh, I have my work cut out for me right now because there's so many things. I was taking notes. I mean, there's so many things you said in there that I was like, oh, that's so good. Like, that's so good. You know, we could take this in so many directions. I feel like I could talk to you for so long. You are so interesting, first of all, and your story does matter. And it's very interesting. And I'm so happy that you're here sharing it. First of all,
thank you for allowing me to do it because I truly don't talk about myself very much or my journey or my path. Where, you know, I am actively writing a book and I got to get it done sooner rather than later because, you know, I do want to share the lessons. Yeah. I especially being a woman who's now 53 years old. You know, I mean, the 40s were hard. You know, going through just, you know, with some personal challenges and not only things that were happening, you know, in my family life and losing all of my immediate family, heck, you know, the hormonal changes that go on and the chaos that happens with that. But also all the fun stories that come along with that, too. And dating around the world. And, it's time to share those the funny stories and time to share the lessons learned. I think sometimes as someone like me, and you might be in the same boat as well, because both of us do travel. We are very much independent women, travel alone, but it's also too, it's like the whole dating aspect. And one of the hardest things to be is to be vulnerable, at least in my world. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be vulnerable and share those things that are difficult to say and the conversations to say. So, you know, like in 2026, I was like, I'm dating differently this year. I'm doing it different because nothing's worked in the past. So, it's like parlaying those moments and allowing people in just a little bit of vulnerability is truly a sign of strength. And so it's a column and area in my life that I'm trying really hard. So, which is why I agreed to do this with you. Let's talk about life. Hit me up.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
Well, that's a really cool thing because invulnerability is where you find the real connection. You know, I mean, it's telling the honest story that, you know, those people that are listening to us, you know, somebody on the other end of this is going to say, oh, I can relate to that. Hey, I've been there. I'm also a, you know, 53-year-old female who's been through X, Y, and Z, just like this woman, Jen, you know, like, wow, there's inspiring people out there. We can do this. We're not alone. You know, it is important. And so I love that you're turning a corner with that. And I actually, okay, so going back to a couple things that you said, the promise that you made to your brother and then the shift that you made in around 2017, sounds like, up to that point, it was pretty much weather for you, right? And then you were starting to launch travel things. Okay, that's actually quite recent. Well, I feel like it was like yesterday, but I guess it was almost 10 years ago. Okay.
I mean, that was actually like a decade ago. What happened?
Almost,
where time evaporates when it's so quickly, so fast. Yeah. So, but it was, So what do you want to know? Hit me. Come on.
I want to know if you made the change because you weren't feeling the 100%. And I also want to know if where you've gone, which you had no idea where that path was leading. You just said, I need something different. I'm the only one who can make a change around here. So let's do this. And you set off on a new path. And how are you feeling about that journey to joy now, that 100% thing? I mean, I know you said it can't be 100%, but you look and you seem so happy and you seem so successful these days. So what is that looking like for you?
Well, you know, okay, so I will tell you that promise I still keep to my brother, and it is something that I do have to remind myself, and it is a very precious promise that I made to him, and probably the most precious promise I've ever made to anyone. you know, I would give it all up for just one more day to spend time with my brother. We were very different people, but just to spend, you know, to spend more time with him, to spend more time with my parents. You know, it is often to me, as I travel, I look for those signs. I look for those God winks. I look to notice and see, you know, are my parents and my brother with me? Where are they? And they are. And like with my brother, he was working for Michelin Tires and was actually working in other parts of the world outside of the United States. One of those places that he truly loved happened to be Ireland. And every time I go somewhere, I swear on the planet, everywhere I go, there is an Irish pub in every city. Somehow.
Yeah. They got around.
Yes. I'm like, but I also love it because for me, it is that every time I see one, it is an instant connection of my brother Jimmy is with me. You know, I mean, his birthday was December 19th. His birthday. So wherever I am in the world, I don't normally drink beer, but I do on December 19th. I drink at least one because he loved beer.
I love that.
And I happen to be in Hobart, Tasmania, Australia. And to go into an Irish pub, and there's immediate comfort. And you know, so it is still, that promise to me is still a very active part of my life, and seeing where he fits in and sees that he is on this journey with me as well. You know, it's kind of like with my dad. My dad loved maps. Parlay into the whole maps are part of weather, a critical part, you know, and so reading maps and, you know, just learning where other countries are and other places are, as a kid with my dad. And, you know, I mean, of course, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. So that's back in the day, you know, where you truly, and they are still treasured, the National Geographic, the actual magazine, the Yellow magazine, still so treasured. But, you know, to have those moments when we would get that, and my dad would also get the National Geographic books, and just spending hours looking over places all over the world. When I had the opportunity to go and do Machu Picchu, and to do Machu Picchu on the first ever all-female trek on the Salkantay Trail, was a unique experience. Well, I was also on that doing a live shot for the Weather Channel from Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, we had to go through getting all kinds of permits and, you know, because going to a Peruvian jail was not going to be on my agenda, you know, making sure all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed. So I went with Alpaca Expeditions, a phenomenal outfitter who is indigenous owned in Peru. They do employ more females than any other outfitter in Peru. But on mine, everyone was female, from the trekkers to the guide to the chef to the porters. You know, I mean, it was just incredible. And it was a phenomenal experience. But I very vividly remember the morning that we you were going up, waiting at the gate to go into actual Machu Picchu. And thankfully, Raul, the owner of Alpaca Expeditions, had sent in a second guide just to go with me. And there was one piece of paper that, of course, it was like, where is it? Where is it? And then going back and forth, and I'm watching my clock going, my hit, I'm now down to 20 minutes. I'm down to 15 minutes.
Oh, no.
And that guide and
to
I-
To be on air?
Oh, and this is, I mean, international signal, to keep in mind that too. So that guide and I, like, we get the okay, and she and I just took off. We're running. And parts of Machu Picchu, when you first go in, I mean, they're like 2-foot steps. And so we are running, and it's a quarter of a mile. Going, get everything set up. Well, when you go into Machu Picchu, you're not allowed to have things like selfie sticks. And here I am with a, you know, very minimalist as I can go, with a tripod, phone, headphones on. And so, you know, and so then, of course, there's other people coming up. But somehow we got an incredible, one of my all-time favorite live shots that I've ever done, literally live from Machu Picchu. But I also took a moment after that of just thinking about Machu Picchu was a place my dad always wanted to go. And here was his little girl having that opportunity to not only go, but to share that experience in a visual manner with audiences across America and across the world. It's sometimes I think people see folks that are on television that are reporting and sharing stories or see our lives on Instagram or, you know, as we travel the world and don't necessarily get to see that there are intimate connections with the places that we go and how important sometimes some of those places are. Having an opportunity to return to Ireland and to Giant's Causeway. My dad happened to pass away when I'd gone to visit my brother, and I knew getting on the plane that I would never see my dad again. He was very ill for many years. Mm-hmm. My dad wanted his kids to be together when he passed. I knew that. That was important. I got on a plane to be with my brother to do that, to honor him, because that's what he wanted.
Wow.
Well, then I had an opportunity to go back to Ireland and to go to the Giant's Causeway. And I had no idea. And I happened to be on a group trip, and I had to tell people, I'm not sure what's going to happen to me. Yeah, I might be okay, but I might not. And if you see me not okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
Let me deal with whatever. Yeah. I'm expecting, you know, and I kind of expected when I had the opportunity to go to Hong Kong. I was speaking on the Royal Caribbean, the World Cruise that got so much buzz of people that were on that cruise for 9 months. And I was a speaker on a 3-week segment of it. My brother was run over from behind while he was working in China and had a brain injury. He did live for 18 months after that, but for other issues which he had, which were depression and alcoholism, that brain injury compounded those, and it was very difficult. But having that moment, I wasn't sure if I was ready to step into any part of China, any facet. But Hong Kong gave me that, again, not knowing of like, what's going to happen? Here I am on a work trip. What's going to happen when I step in? And it ended up for me being, I had a friend with me, a longtime friend, who was just able to let me have a moment as we were pulling into the harbor. And I guess part of it is, I guess the moral of the story is like, be okay to not be okay. And try to face and go back to those things that are going to make you feel something. I still need to go back, and I'm getting close to being ready. And go when you're ready. I'm still, you know, my mom passed in Greenville, South Carolina, my hometown, and I haven't been back since 2019. And I'm getting very close to being ready. And I have been back to South Carolina. But, you know, I think it's, you have to give yourself that time and grace. And part of the reason that I travel is, in a sense, I mean, look, the reality is, I ran to travel as fast as I could to try to run away from my grief journey. Hmm. But the travel journey helped me face that grief journey head on. And look, there's no roadmap for grieving. I mean, you could be fine for a month. You could be fine for 6 months. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see something. Something's going to happen. A date on the calendar comes up, and you're not fine. You know, and dealing with that, and it is, quite frankly, grief is a trip that all of us will go on. And each grief journey is very different. It's different when it's a parent. It's different when it's a sibling. It's different when it's a child, when it's a friend, when it's a coworker. And grief is not only when just somebody passes. It's also the end of a relationship, the end of a marriage. It's the end of a job. You know, I had to face that in my career. When San Antonio, you know, here I was, chief meteorologist, I'd been there for a decade, but somebody higher up in the new company that had come in and bought the company that I was working for decided they didn't want a female chief meteorologist, and they were going in a new direction, at the time. It's dealing with those grief paths and whatever those may look like, and realize that it's just like the ocean. I mean, sometimes the ocean wave comes in and it just so gently caresses you. And then other times it knocks you into a tumultuous you know, somersaulting in the sand and brutal, and you're coming up and gasping for air. You know, you never know which wave is going to do that. And you never know when grief hits, which way it's going to go.
Yeah, it's so true.
Not to take it deep for you. Not to,
no,
you
know. I love deep. And I actually love that you took it there because, I mean, as a person who also spends her life much on the road, at least definitely in the travel world, you know, we still have those lives. We still have those obstacles. And just because travel is our stage, it doesn't mean that things don't happen to us and that we're real people. And, you know, that there are emotions and feelings and obstacles and things happening behind the camera. And I love that you brought that up, because I also think that travel, I mean, you said that you turned to travel initially to kind of run away, to distract yourself, whatever. And I think that's a worthy thing. Sometimes you need to find a distraction. You need to find a new path, you know, and if travel can be that path, great. But what I think I also truly believe about travel is that it is a fast track to self-discovery. And so you learn what you're made of when you're on the road. And if you take yourself on that road post something traumatic, which I have done before, you know, oh, wow. I mean, that is a brand new grounds for building a new foundation and everything. And you really get to get down to it and figure out what you want to put that new foundation together with, because out there on the road, you're with yourself, you know, and you have all these decisions to make and you have all this history that you've brought with you. And then you have this other side of wanting to share what you're doing. And it becomes this whole lifestyle. I mean, I can relate to that on a completely different level. But in a very, I guess, similar way to what you're explaining. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know, and I also feel like in so many ways, it's kind of like the weather. And you know, you go through and you travel, and not every day is going to be a beautiful sunny day. I mean, as you and I both have experienced, and we both do a ton of outdoor stuff. You know, first of all, if you're ever on a mountain with me and you start seeing me run down, you better follow. But
this girl knows something.
It's yeah. coming fast, yeah. And you don't want to be the tallest thing on the top of that mountain, which
That's
has
so
happened.
Handy.
I mean, it's really hot. It was actually a hometown friend and I, like, booking down, and he all of a sudden said, I yelled at him and I was like, go, and I'm running. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, the signs and learn the signs. Just because you're a meteorologist doesn't mean you're not going to have bad weather. More than likely, you're going to have that. We had it on top of Kilimanjaro, getting wind gusts and sustained winds that were over 30 miles per hour during our summit window. The rest of the trip, the weather was great, but not that part.
Of course. Right.
You know, but there's so much of it that when I travel, and I'm such a proponent of being prepared in whatever form or fashion. And I honestly think it comes from doing so many years of being that person that people look to on the television screen when the bad weather hit, because I you know, when I was chief meteorologist and even, you know, in Denver, when I decided to come to Denver to do a morning show and then opening up this door of developing out a weekly segment called Explore Colorado. And, you know, then taking that and going even further into 30-minute specials and really just taking it all. I was like, you have to be prepared. And I follow my own advice, you know, and so, you know, like my packing jobs, I always there's always a puffy jacket. Doesn't matter if I'm going to the tropics. There is always a puffy jacket, at least in my backpack.
Same.
You know, I mean, it's just, you just never know.
Be as prepared as you can. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also too, for me, it's also like thinking about making sure that you're prepared. None of us want to think about when we travel, especially when you travel solo and you go to, and it's not just remote places in the world that are impacted by severe weather, natural disasters, you know, civil unrest, you know, things that you might need to be evacuated for whatever reason. You know, it's that's the side of travel that a lot of times I don't think folks want to think about it, but you have to think about it.
Sure.
Just like you have to think about if you live in an area that's prone to wildfires, you have to have your wildfire plan put in place. You have to know those steps of what are your important documents and making sure you have everything backed up in a digital format and, you know, being prepared for hurricanes. You know, I've spent a lot of my career, you know, being in the middle of tropical systems ranging from, you know, Hurricane Katrina. I've been in every kind of weather, you know, from Hurricane Katrina to blizzards to wildfires to you know, flash flooding situations of a 100-year flood to a 500-year flood to a 1,000-year flood, and being somebody who's was on air, having to actively, at that point, it's not just forecasting, it is truly now casting when you are living not only minute by minute, but second by second, when you were watching on a radar and you were actively watching severe weather, and you know that it is not only destroying property, but it is potentially taking lives. And that's hard. It's hard when you're in that situation. But it's also, too, I think has helped me parlay to be as prepared as I can and travel and then have that opportunity to share that of how important it is to do your pre-trip prep and to be ready for, you know, the skies aren't always going to be blue. And most of the time, you know, when you're traveling, it's not. You're going to be dealing with some kind of weather.
Yeah. You reminded me of a quote. I mean, I think all of this is actually like we have just kind of done over the last half hour. All of this is a really kind of cool metaphor also for life. And you've reminded me of a quote that I love that kind of makes me feel calm sometimes, but it's, you are the sky and everything else, it's just the weather. Have you heard that?
Oh, no. I have to, I'm writing that down when we're done.
Because I wish I could remember who said it, but if you look it up, you can find it. But I love that though, because I mean, how true and how appropriate for this conversation to think like, yeah, I mean, we can prepare as much as we can, but life happens, emotions happen, like grief happens, all these things, they happen and you get through and you overcome and you lean on each other and you continue your journey to joy as best as you can. And that's all that we can really do, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of funny because it's like when I'm on a road trip and, you know, some friends that have gone with me on road trips, at first they start to laugh because I like to stop and see everything, you know, because it's kind of, for me, it's that what if I never drive down this road again? I love to take the dirt road. I love to take the scenic route. You know, so, you know, because those opportunities, you know, might not come again. And there's also too, when you're driving by and you see that plaque, you know, for the historical marker or, you know, whatever it might be, I was like, I want to know what happened there. You know, and so it's that curious part, but for me, it's opening up that, let me learn a little bit more. Let me, you know, I mean, let me, in a sense, like, learn about the places that I'm not. I don't want to ever just be somebody that's just passing through. I want to experience and learn, you know, and we've spent, and, I, you know, I'm guilty of it as well. I'm guilty of just passing through life, going through those motions. We all know what that feels like, you know, and I think I've gotten to a point in my life where I want to fully embrace and experience it. And, you know, whether I share that, you know, share that on social media or share that in an article or, you know, through a television segment or whatever it may be, it's, I first have to embrace it and experience it for myself. And to take it all in, you know, you just, it's that whole, you know, stop and smell the roses kind of thing. With me, it's stop and read the sign on a road trip.
There you go. Yeah.
It's like, why not?
Yeah. I love that question too. What if, like, what if you do take that road? What if it's, that's like, man, that is the, that question can be a guidebook in itself. It's like, well, okay, let's just try this, you know? Okay. I want to go back to one thing and allow you to answer one more question. You have gotten to where you are by listening to a lot of advice and asking for what you want, which I love that. I mean, going back to the very beginning, I love the story that you told about writing the letters twice to the people that you looked up to enough to get responses, and listening to their advice, listening to your dad's advice, being a curious learner and just paying attention and observing as you're going through this life and world and letting those things affect your decisions and all of that. So given that you have a captive audience right now, what is the advice that you would like to pass on to those listening about what, whether it's finding your own, you know, journey to joy or savoring the silence or whatever it is, what is the thing you want to share?
You know, that's such a hard question because, you know, I feel like I like to do that so much on individual levels because I feel like everybody is at a different place in life. You know, I guess if I have to say something, it would be put the brakes on for a second and give yourself that chance to look at your life and see what makes you happy. You know, we, in a sense, like it's kind of before you can get to that savor the silence or your journey to joy, you have to stop, you know, and I don't want to call it an assessment, but in a sense, it kind of is. It's a, I guess, reevaluation or look and see where you are in your life and what is feasible for your life. You know, it may not be feasible for you to say, you know, I'm quitting my job tomorrow and I'm going to go live in Timbuktu for 6 months, you know, but it's kind of just stop for a second and see where you are. Meet yourself where you are first and then start taking it one step at a time. You know, there is a saying of the only way to climb a mountain is putting one foot in front of the other. And that's kind of your daily walk in life. And the only way, if you want to change something about your life, the only way to do that is to put that one foot in front of the other. We all get up in the morning and it is a choice to be happy or be mad as heck at the world. That's a choice. And by making that choice, you are setting yourself on a course as to how your day is going to play out, how your week is going to play out, how your month, your year, your life is going to play out. So I guess if I have to give one piece of advice, it's going to be stop, meet yourself where you are, and then start making your plan forward and let your journey unravel as it's going to. And allow those opportunities where you can say yes. Say those three letters, say yes, and go for it.
Yeah. I love that. I really do love that because I've been there and I've done that, and it's powerful because the person making that decision is you and the person living your life is you. So I love that. I think that's really good advice. Thank you for sharing that. All right. If people would like to follow your crazy journey, where can they follow you? Where can they find your projects? Give it all to us. We'll put it all in the show notes too.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think one of the easiest spots is going to be Instagram. And that is Jennifer Broom Travel. So it's Broom like you sweep with an E on the end, or like Broom Australia, which is still on my bucket list to get to. I'm going to get there one day because I want a pearl from there. I know. But yeah, you can find me there. You can find me on my website, which is sweptawaytoday.com. And yeah, hit me up. I mean, you know, if it's something that somebody sometimes just needs to reach out and say, hey, I've been in a grief journey too. And I love hearing other, like you, I love hearing other people's stories and being able to help in the ways that we can and share the love and journey the world.
So generous of you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming and sharing so much of yourself. I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but you did fabulous. Honestly, this was wonderful. I really appreciate you. Thanks so much, Jen.
You're welcome. It's always great to talk to you.